In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith. We are on Lesson 91, the Ten Commandments. The image at the beginning, the head of the chapter, shows Moses on Mount Sinai and God giving him the Ten Commandments, and in the background, in the distance, we see the Israelites in their tents and the golden calf being raised up. The caption reads, Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai speaking with God. To him God gave two stone tablets on which were engraved the Ten Commandments. Thus we see why we must obey the commandments, for God himself gave them to us. They are God's laws, requiring strict obedience. Which are the Ten Commandments of God? The commandments of God are these ten. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Second, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Third, remember thou keep holy the Lord's day. Fourth, honor thy father and thy mother. Fifth, thou shalt not kill. Sixth, thou shalt not commit adultery. Seven, thou shalt not steal. Eight, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Nine, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And ten, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. By whom were the Ten Commandments given? The Ten Commandments were given by Almighty God, who first gave them to Moses on Mount Sinai. In the third month after the Israelites had left Egypt, they arrived near Mount Sinai. God called Moses and told him he would appear to the people. On the third day there was thunder and lightning, and a trumpet sounded. Moses took the Israelites to the foot of the mountain, which shook violently and smoked like a furnace. The trumpet blew louder. Then God spoke from the clouds. But the Israelites were afraid and begged Moses to pray God not to speak to them. Moses went up Mount Sinai to talk with God. God gave him two tablets of stone, on which were carved the Ten Commandments. On coming down from the mountain, Moses found the Israelites adoring a golden calf made out of the gold from their jewelry. In his anger, Moses threw down the tablets of stone and broke them. Later, Moses again went up Mount Sinai. God told him to make two new tablets. On these, Moses wrote the commandments. The two tablets, which are called the Tables of the Law, were later placed in the Ark of the Covenant, and the ark was kept in the tabernacle. When Solomon built the temple, the ark was placed in the innermost part, called the Holy of Holies. Both ark and tables disappeared with the destruction of the temple and fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC. In the enumeration of the commandments of God to be found in the books of Moses, are the commandments definitely divided into ten? In the enumeration of the commandments of God to be found in the book of Moses, although the injunctions are distinctly tenfold, there is no definite numerical division. The Catholic enumeration of the Ten Commandments differs from the English and Calvinist Protestant enumeration. The Catholic division was in use in England till the Protestant revolt, and it is still used by most Lutheran churches. The Catholic system is based on the Hebrew text and principally on the enumeration made by St. Augustine. It was adopted by the Council of Trent. By it, the first commandment contains everything relating to false worship and false gods. The tenfold division is safeguarded by dividing the last precept regarding desire into one relating to sins of the flesh and another referring to sins against property, just as acts against purity are forbidden separately from acts against property. The English Protestant enumeration is based on Origen and others. By it, the worship of graven images is numbered as the second commandment, and all the succeeding commandments thereby are advanced one over the Catholic enumeration. To safeguard the tenfold division, the last two commandments are grouped together as the tenth. The Ten Commandments are arranged in logical order to embrace all laws necessary for the enforcement of the two precepts of charity, the two great commandments of love of God and love of neighbor. The first three commandments comprise our duty towards God. The first commandment requires adoration and loyalty. The second requires reverence. The third requires formal service, the sanctification of a day for the exclusive honor of God. The last seven commandments comprise our duty to ourselves and our fellow men. The fourth commandment contains our duties towards our parents and superiors as representatives of God. Conversely, the commandment also contains the duties of superiors towards their subordinates. The fifth commandment assures the protection of life, the sixth of purity, the seventh of property, the eighth of reputation and honor, and the ninth and tenth of domestic life. Are we obliged to obey the commandments of God? We are strictly obliged to obey the commandments of God. God has imprinted the substance of the Ten Commandments in the heart of man, in the heart and mind, and they have therefore binding force. Even if they had never been revealed, we should still be obliged to keep them, for they are dictated by reason and taught by natural law. The revealed law merely repeats and amplifies natural law. While it is true that reason does not tell us to sanctify Saturday or Sunday, it certainly requires us to keep some day or days holy to give exclusive honor to our Creator. Our Lord Jesus Christ confirmed the Ten Commandments and laid them upon us in more complete form. Christ reiterated the Ten Commandments when speaking to the rich young man in St. Matthew 19, chapter 19, verse 18, and in the Sermon on the Mount. On various occasions, he explained several of them separately. Quote, "I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall be lost from the law, till all things have been accomplished." From St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 18 through 19. We should gladly keep the commandments because God wishes and orders us to do so. It is the way to serve Him. If we keep the commandments, we show by our acts that we love God and so serve Him. Violation of the commandments results in temporal punishments like discontent, dishonor, bad health, and other miseries. Those obedient to God's commandments always enjoy peace of conscience in this life, and in the next their heavenly reward will be great, without limit and without end. Should we be satisfied merely to keep the commandments of God? We should not be satisfied merely to keep the commandments of God, but should always be ready to do good deeds, even when they are not commanded. If we truly love our parents and friends, we do not wait to be commanded to do what will please them. God is our best friend. If we really love Him, we would do what we know He likes without being ordered to do so by His commandments. We would do little extra things, good works, sacrifices, all as an offering of love for Him. That completes the reading of today's lesson. Do we have any questions or comments? Nothing? Okay. In this first commandment, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. I don't know if we're going to cover the Ten Commandments later on in this series, but I find it important to emphasize that the non-Catholic religions worship a false god. Catholics are forbidden to participate in non-Catholic worship. And that's why you're not permitted to go to the Protestant church or the Jewish temple, or they don't have a temple, do they? Synagogue, the Muslim temple, these different places are forbidden for us to go and pray and worship because they worship a false god. And I know it goes contrary to what our modern society tells us, you know, of ecumenism and accepting everybody where they are, and you know, we should all, as Vatican II emphasized, focus on what unites us rather than what divides us. And I've heard ad nauseum that we all believe in the same God, we all worship the same Jesus, and I say, no, we don't. And I've given a few sermons, I believe, emphasizing that fact, that the Catholic Jesus, the Catholic guides, God, says there is no divorce. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. The Protestant God, many non-Catholic gods have permitted divorce, or say it's okay to divorce and remarry. The Catholic God says very clearly, unless you confess your sins and do penance, he appointed a priest, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. The Protestants do not recognize that God because they have a different God who taught them that they only need to confess their sins to Jesus in heaven. And that really there is no sin, I guess, if you want to follow Calvin logically, because we can't help ourselves, can do nothing for our own good. Christ has merited everything for us, and all we need to do is accept him, and everything is forgiven us. But I emphasize that Catholics are forbidden to worship with non-Catholics. Because it seems to come up quite often, especially if somebody wants to go to a funeral or a wedding or something, and we have to say, you may go, but you may not participate in any religious ceremonies, any worship that they are, prayers that they are offering. You may go simply as a civil person, for civil reasons, I guess, social reasons, if you will. But after Vatican II, it was noted that a group of sisters in a convent would go on Sundays to the various different churches, the different non-Catholic churches, to worship there and to pray there as a sign of ecumenism and goodwill towards all these non-religions, non-Catholic religions. And they were, from what I understand, invited to attend a Latin Mass, but they were said they were not permitted to do that. They were permitted to go to non-Catholic worship, but the Latin Mass that was approved by the Catholic Church, you know, back in Council of Trent, that was forbidden to them. And so that speaks, I think, very loudly that they were no longer Catholic, that they had turned away from the faith, and they accepted the modernist teaching that you should visit the church of your choice, to find the church that makes you feel comfortable, and that, you know, forget about the dogmas, forget about the rigidity of the Catholic faith, the uncompromising Catholic faith, and embrace everybody, wherever they are, whatever they are, and accept them as they are. And I say, Christ didn't come to accept us as we are. Christ came to demand that we change, that we convert, that we follow him. And so it seems patently obvious to me, and I wonder how so many people can't see that, that these are false religions, that we do not worship the same God. And so we have really this first and greatest commandment is being broken right and left by people who are indifferent. And I would say that they're even worse than indifferent. I think they don't even really believe in God. To most people, I think their religion is more of a social edifice that they just go along with because that's what society tells them that they should do, or their parents made them do, or whatever material reasons they have for doing it. And I think their hearts are not really in it. They don't really love God. And so we're not amazed or shocked by the life that they lead consequent to that non-belief, if you will. Right? I don't want to get into each one of the commandments. I just wanted to emphasize that first and greatest commandment, that we must love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. Okay. Any questions, comments? Then I think we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Thank you, Edward.